Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and we're holding 6-7 lines from the top of the Amud where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, HaYeshoychet V'hitiz. Let's take a quick look back at the Mishnah once again on Lamed Amud Beis. If you go to the fourth line of the Mishnah says, Hitiz es haroish bebas achas psula. You have a shoychet who gave a clap to the head and severed the entire head with one blow, it's possible. The reason why that's possible is because that's one of the five psulim in Hilchay Shechita. That's what we call drasa, that instead of shechting by being moiluch umevi, by the sharpness of the blade, going and severing the two pipes, rather the person gave it he took like a meat cleaver, even if it was perfect. There wasn't one notch, one niche, everything was perfect. But he didn't go back and forth, but rather he just went straight down. So that is one of the five, which although it's halacha l'moshirisinai, our Mishnah is telling us, we've learned about this a few times since we started the Masechta, but here's where the Mishnah codifies the halacha of drisa. But then the Mishnah continues, hayishoychet v'hitiz es haroish b'bas achas. If he wasn't doing it by just giving it a clap, but rather in fact he was going back and forth, hayishoychet v'hitiz es haroish b'bas achas, as a result of the very sharp blade, who was able to go and not only cut the two simanim, but in fact to sever the entire head. If the sakin is long enough for the width of the entire tzavar, of the entire length and width of the, it depends on which way you look at it, but the width of the makam tzavar of the neck area, and then he was able to sever the head by doing a moilich type of situation, not through pressure, but through slicing, then it's kosher. Now, the Mishnah just uses the expression, yesh besakin maloy tzavar ksheir. However, Rashi immediately adds, and this is our Gemara, which we're going to learn momentarily, if you look at the third line, third of the wide lines of Rashi on the Mishnah, Rashi says, yesh besakin maloy tzavar, chutz letzavar to the mukim b'gemara yish kan haylocha oy hayva v'kosher sheyesh by kedei lishchayt b'meshicha b'leidarsa. What Rashi is telling us is that when it says in the Mishnah that im yesh v'sakin b'leitzavar, it doesn't mean that the sakin is only one tzavar wide, but in fact it was two tzavar wide. Let's assume that the width of a tzavar is chvayis 6 inches l'moshel. So Rashi tells us that it was 12 inches long. Why is that important?
Longer than the neck.
Yeah, exactly. Because if he was just going to be, the Mishnah is going to say in another two lines that we're talking about that he was only moilich or maybe, but not both. Since he's only doing moilich or maybe, if the length of the sakin was exactly the same as the width of the tzavar, then how could it be with just one slice to go entirely through the entire head and decapitate this animal? However, if you're talking about that it was a long knife, so then you start off from wherever you start off on the knife, and then you pull the whole knife towards you, or you push the knife in the other direction, in other words, moilich or maybe, since it's such a sharp knife, and since it's so long, it is successful in not only severing the two pipes, the two simanim, but in fact, it severed the entire head.
In one shot? Or
in one shot. In one shot. Just one moilich or one maybe. And then the Mishnah continues on. What happens? Are you shoychet v'hitiz beiz roshin b'bas achas? This is such a talented shoychet that he's shechting two heads at one time. Two heads are better than one. So now says the Mishnah again. Hitiz means again to sever the entire head. Now we're severing two heads. When would he say it's kosher? And yesh besakin maloy tzavar echad ksheira. And Rashi points out that means in this case you have to have three tzavarim. Really? Look at the next Rashi. Rashi says im yesh besakin is about 6 lines into the wide lines of the Mishnah. In the Rashi on the Mishnah, after all, he's shechting two necks, two animals. It has one more, so that it's three. Exactly, even longer. Exactly right. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Now the Mishnah continues. That's he did only haylacha, no hava. Or heavy v'le haylach. In other words, only in one direction, not both directions.
Exactly.
If it went back and forth, even if the size of the knife was small, like an izemel. Izemel means a scalpel, which is used by doctors for purposes of surgery. But here, Rashi says izemel means even if it was a tardak, the cotton oid, like a small razor, small, tiny little razor, which is all of 1 inch, maybe 1.5 inches wide, the whole razor. That's also good. What is he going to have to do? Obviously, he's going to have to keep on going back and forth because the average neck of the average animal is going to be many times one little tire, one little razor. But as long as the razor is sharp and you're careful and you keep on being moiluch umeidi, a filikol shoe is also kosher.
Yeah, but it's a shicha. It's going to take a long time to cut it.
Shihi is only if you take a break in between. But if it's a constant slicing action, even if it takes an hour,
oh, wow.
And it normally wouldn't take an hour because it's very sharp. But in case your knife is not that sharp, it's rather dull. But there are no niches, no notches, no nothing.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly smooth knife. But it's not the sharpest in the world. It takes a while. So even if it takes an hour, you just keep on going back and forth. No Teresa, don't put any pressure. Don't take a break. If you're now getting weary and say, I can't do it anymore, then you'll have a problem. But as long as you do a normal slicing back and forth, even if it takes an hour, it's kosher and everything is fine.
Just because a drisha, they make it a nevela, not a treif, and the jurati takes it out of the treif is only if it was done properly.
What you're saying is correct. Because of any one of those five psulim in shechita, if you don't do it properly, it becomes a nevela, which means, of course, that not only is it now a treif, but also it's matame. Exactly right. Good. So now with that background, says the Gemara, Omer Rebbe Zeira. In our Mishnah just said, if you're shechting one animal, and you were successful in not only shechting, but also hitis as a rosh, you severed the entire head, we said in the Mishnah, that's okay if m'yesh besaken m'loy tzaver, that it was the width of the length of the saken was like the width of the neck, which he is now shechting. But what did Rashi say? Rashi said, no, it's got to be two. Mm-hmm. One in addition. Rashi took it from our Gemara. So, Omer Rav Zeira. Meloy tzaver v'chutz letzaver. Meloy tzaver, the Mishnah is correct, but it's got to be more than just the meloy tzaver. Meloy tzaver is not enough. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us how much that chutz letzaver is. See, boilu, meloy tzaver v'chutz letzaver, kimeloy tzaver, like Rashi said, the havelot trei tzavri, that in fact the length of this knife is like the width of two heads. After all, Reb Zeira is not very explicit. He just says, maybe chutzatzaver means a nocha bisale. So therefore, if the width of the neck is 6 inches, it's got to be 7 inches, 8 inches. But who says it has to be double? Let's try to bring a raya from the next case of the Mishnah. He's now shechting and he has severed both heads at the same time. Said the Mishnah, as long as the sakin has a malay tzavar, echad is kosher. Now what does that mean? My malay tzavar echad. Ilema malay tzavar echad v'suloi. Just one malay tzavar altogether. He's shechting two animals and the length of this knife is only one tzavar. Since Reb Zeira said so definitively that when you're shechting one animal and the entire head was decapitated, was severed, it's got to be not just Mulei Tzaver. It's Mulei Tzaver plus. I don't know yet how much the plus is, but I know it's got to be Mulei Tzaver v'chutz Tzaver. It's b'shtei behemis, sagilihu v'kimloi Tzaver achad. Is it possible then to think that when you're dealing with one behema, you need one tzaver and a bisala? When you're doing two behemas, you only need one tzaver altogether. Does that make sense? It's ipcha mistaver, it's punkt faker. Ela pshita amvada nevada, when we're talking about the second case of the shtei behemois, when it says in the Mishnah, muloi tzaver, cannot possibly mean that you're severing both heads and it's a short little knife and you just did one moilich, or one mevi, and both heads were severed. That doesn't make any sense. So when it says in the Mishnah, it's got to be Mulei Tzaver, obviously it means Mulei Tzaver chutz lishnei tzavar. In addition to the width of these two animals, you have to make sure to be one more. So it has to be at least three altogether, and then with one moilich, or maybe I could see that he's severing not only the two, the kon and the beishim, but in fact the head. Right. Shema mina, so what do I see from this? I see from this when it says in the Mishnah, Maloy Tzabar, it's not Mashu Abisala, but the definition of Maloy Tzabar means Chutzal Tzabar, in addition to whatever the length of the knife and the width of, no matter how many animals you're shechting, one animal, two animals, three animals, you always have to have, in addition to that, at least one more Maloy Tzabar. Shema mina, so we push it our Shalat, that when Reb Zeira said, the chutzle tzavar, it doesn't mean a mashu, it means a full-fledged additional maloi tzavar.
Is there an upper limit to how many animals you can shecht with one maaser shechita?
The Mishnah doesn't go into it. Theoretically, you know, if you have a good shechita, you can do 100 of them, you know, assembly line, but presumably most shechita
would do it. With small birds, it's possible, you do want to have... I remember when I was a boy, I worked at a kosher chicken butcher in Chicago. And they would check the animals in the back. It was full of sawdust. I realize now it was for kisei adam.
Right.
But I remember it was like...
Not for animals, you mean for fowls.
I would say thank you, I just for chickens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The whole mukam tzabra of the chicken.
Very narrow.
It's very goonish, yeah.
You pick out your chicken and then they take it back and they check the feet and they do the kisei adam. Right.
Yeah, exactly. One, two, three. You have a lot of places, even today, in Brooklyn and in Muncie and other places where... They do kaporish shlugin during the kessel osur, and people, after they finish the kaporish shlugin, then they go and they actually shecht it on the spot, and they allow you to do kisei adam on the spot too, if you know what's going on. Okay, continuing now, we said at the end of the Mishnah that v'zman shehoylich v'lehevi, hevi v'lehoylich. However, if you're being moylich umevi, then you can use the smallest little knife, even the size of an izema. Apparently there are scalpels, these small little knives, that have on them horn-like ornaments. Rashi says to go and make them prettier or whatever. These are not necessarily necessary for the razor, but maybe to get a better grip on it, or maybe to make it look prettier, they used to go and add some ornaments in the forms of these karnayim, like little horns sticking out from the razor. So what is Rav Menashe telling us? That the Mishnah, when it allowed for using an izemel, even with, and has to be dafkin izemel, she'en lekanayim. Why? Because if yesh lekanayim, what I'm afraid is, it might fall out of his hand when he's not being careful, and the kanayim and the izemel might get entangled in the two simanim, and by accident, instead of cutting, it's going to go and tear the simen, and that'll be ikor. Or Rashi says, Yachlidu Hasimon, maybe it'll somehow get borrowed into or buried under one or two of the Simonim, and it's going to cause a Chaloda situation. If you're wondering which Rashi am I talking about, Rashi She'en Loi Karnayim. It's about a quarter down the Umud, 15 lines, 18 lines. She'en Loi Karnayim. Derigilim Hoyulas is Kimin Karnayim Lazmil Lenoi Al Gabe. They used to make it as an ornamental thing on top of this razor, little horn sticking out. Matan Litzad Roshan. Let me tell you, cut me out since it's so small.
I mean, it has to be smooth.
Exactly, it has to be very smooth. That's right. Exactly. So, who nishmat min atzaber?
Otherwise, it's like a saw.
Right, exactly. 100%. So now when you go and use it on the tzaber, since it's so small, it could, you know, fall out of your hand and get stuck there in the tzaber. Maybe as he is pulling back and forth, shechting back and forth, slicing back and forth, yesh lochesh shema yachlido hasimanim, maybe it's going to fall underneath a simon, it's going to be a chaloda situation, like a chulda, like a weasel, or yunakful oisim akanayim, or those kanayim might make a loch, might make a hole in the veshit, for instance, and make the whole thing trait. So therefore, says Rav Menashe, you can use, the Mishnah said you can use an izema, a scalpel, but it should be a scalpel which is totally smooth on the top, without any protrusions, without any kanayim, etc. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avya Rav Mashna, Rav Menashe, Machtamai, can you use a regular needle, like a sewing needle? A sewing needle, of course, has a very sharp point at the end. You don't have to try it out. Take my word for it, that it has a very sharp point. And now, what happens if I were to take that needle and kind of slice it or scrape it against the mokum hatzavar. What's the Gemara Shaila? It's like a mini razor. It's not a razor of 1 inch long. It's now a razor of a tenth of an inch long. Just that one little point. So maybe if I pull it nicely and I slice it, maybe that would also be effective. Amalei, na. Machta mivza boza. By definition, since it has that point at the end, as you're going to go and use it for slicing, it's going to go make mivza boza. It's going to make holes in the whole area of the neck and then eventually into the two pipes. So instead of being a shechita, it's going to be really a tearing situation, and the shoichet who's doing that will probably be teary-eyed as a result because he messed up the shechita badly. So for Eitima, okay, that's your regular machta. What about the machta di ushkefi mai? Ushkefi, says Rashi, are ratzonim. Ratzonim means people that work with leather, and also usually refers to those that are manufacturing shoes. Now apparently their machta was a little bit wider and a little bit bigger than your standard machat. Rashi refers to it as a marzeya. Marzeya, as you know, the trader refers to as marzeya, yeah, by the Eved Ivri if he wants to stay there after 6 years. Lakachdis a marzeya, and you have to go minasata ba'ozni vadelas. Exactly. He has a special tool, which is like a marzeya, which is like a drill, and this drill, by definition, has a wider end to it, a wider point. Okay,
right. Then, so no good.
Sorry?
It's no good.
It's no good. So that's what Yimor is asking now. What you would take for granted, whether it's good or not, that's Yimor Shaila.
Well, I've been there. I've seen it.
You've seen it. Okay. So machtu de ushkefi mai. Could you use that instead of using a regular machat, but drag this machat de ushkefi back and forth, because this is perhaps a drop wider, a little bit longer, and it's nice and sharp. Maybe I can use that instead of a izemel. This would be a mini izemel. Maybe that would be good. Oh, Malaysia, it's a tanina. I feel a koshu. Look back at the Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah. I feel a koshu. I feel a izemel. What is this double lushan kli? I'm sorry, koshu and izemel. Izemel is the izemel. That's the small little razor that Rashi said. And koshu presumably means like machted ushkefi. So I can be pointing from my Mishnah that it's kosher, my la machted ushkefi. When it says in the Mishnah koshu, it means an izemel. My dear, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says very clearly, afila koshu, afila izemel kosher. Sounds like these are two separate things. You have the koshu thing, and you have the izemel thing. No, what's the koshu? Probably a machted ushkefi. I mean the izemel. Izemel befeirish. I don't need to repeat izemel twice. Zoktimar perusha kamafarish. The Mishnah is explaining, when I said a koshu, don't think I mean it literally a koshu, like a regular needle, a machat, or even a machta de ushkefi. That doesn't cut it. Instead, what it does, it tears it apart. Right. What type of koshu? An izemel. My koshu izemel. Hochanam mistavar, I'm being it right. Diso kadaita machta de ushkefi. Hachta machta de ushkefi sharia. Izemel mi boya. Once it says in the Mishnah, I feel a koshu, and you're telling me koshu, that means a machta de ushkefi, which means it's just a little bit bigger than your regular normal needle. If that is good, and of course a razor is certainly good, because razor is razor sharp, and it's wider, and it's longer than a dechavada. So why did the Mishnah have to say izemel? So that's why it makes sense to say that I feel a koshu, perushi kamafarish, I feel a izemel. Zutimar nishkarai. Izemel tzrichalai. Remember, we started off the shtickle gemara that Rav Nasha said it's got to be an izemel that doesn't have any adornments, doesn't have these little horn protrusions, because if it has a horn protrusion, it could fall in and it could cause, said Rashi, chaloda, or be menakiv the kanayim, menakiv the two simonim, in other words, a case of ikor. So ibazoi, I would think the average individual doesn't make a difference between, a distinction between a regular scalpel with kanayim or an izemel without kanayim, and therefore it might come, if you're going to tell me izemel without kanayim is kosher, then people that are not that careful might use an izemel with kanayim and cause this to become treif, and so therefore maybe we should aser all izemels, no more razors, forget about it. Kabash Malon, that's why the Mishnah comes to tell you, nay, you can use an izemel, just make sure it doesn't have karnayim. But the word koshu, could in fact mean a machta d'ushkifa. Konzai. So the Gemara Lamaisa is not poisha d'shala, whether you can use a machta d'ushkifa or not. He started a new Mishnah, but a lot of what we're learning now in the Mishnah we've already had not too long ago.
On page 3.
Okay. Zuk the Mishnah. Nofla sakin ushchata. A person was holding on to a knife, and then by accident it fell down onto, he thought it was going to fall onto the ground. But guess what? There was a duck or a little bird or a chicken or whatever that happens to be lying over there, lying in the sun, getting a suntan, and then the sakin fell down, and wow, it is unbelievable. It went and sliced the neck of that fowl or that animal, says the Mishnah, psula, it's a foul act.
Isn't that a drusa though? If it's falling, it's pressure.
Yeah.
It fell at an angle. It didn't fall straight down. You're 100% right. If it went, then you'd be a drusa, no question. Mm-hmm. It has to be talking about the case where it sliced it very nicely. Sorry?
If it fell by itself, but if it dropped it, it was hit, then it's
kshat. We're going to talk about that. Thank you. Thank you for introducing Nigmar. We're going to talk about that
moment. But was that the intention?
Okay, well,
what's the pun?
No pun, just explaining. Stuff.
Oh, serious.
Okay. My intention was serious.
Oh, very good.
What was your question?
No.
You could have a situation, for instance, all of this is more theoretical and practical, but what happens if you had a knife at the end of the table and you're sitting outside and there comes all of a sudden wind, and the wind pushes the knife off the table, and because it's a draft and it's a wind, it's pushing it northward or southward, whatever. It's another, it doesn't just drop on the ground, but in fact, it has a chance to go and slice something which is on the ground, and in this case, it sliced the neck of a bird, of an animal, whatever, and it did a good shechita. It was a shachta kedarka. Everybody said, wow, it's danetz. Maybe there's a malach holding on to this sakit. Anyway, it's possible. Why? It says in the pasuk, it's a vachti v'chalta, mashata zoyveach, ato oichel. What does that mean, mashata zoyveach, ato oichel? We're going to see in the Gemara shortly.
You eat what you kill.
That's true, but it's not what you kill, what you shecht. And therefore, it's got to be with kavana. And the Gemara is going to make a distinction shortly between zvicha and chaticha, as we'll see. So when it says v'zavachta v'yachalta, it means that you're mechaven to go and do a zvicha, a shechita, and then you can eat. But if you were not mechaven for a zvicha, in fact, it happened on its own, because the sakin fell down on its own, not necessarily did it fall from your hand. It fell off the table, or whatever. In those cases, it's possible because you didn't have a person with kavana to be zvicha. And the Gemara will explain this in greater detail. Yishok yitzimar. Tamid nochle. That's only because it fell on its own by accident or whatever. Hohi pilahu. What happens if, in fact, the person intended to go and throw the knife down? If one of his kids was playing with a knife. He took the knife and he threw it down. And he threw it in such a way that it didn't just fall on the ground, but it gave a slice. Hohi pilahu is ksheira. So Gemara, the afal gavdoli mechabin. Even though it wasn't mecham v'shchita, but it was no longer that it fell on its own. It's the person that was mappa. So what we see from this line of Gemara is that the ikur of the Mishnah is not that you have to have kavanah l'shchait, but it has to be a koyach oda, that a person was the one. I'm sorry?
It's a person who has to do it.
It's a personal thing over here. That he had the koyach of Odom, because he was mapalit, dafka, right. But he wasn't mapalit for the purposes of shechita, but just to throw it down. And he did a great job, such a great job, that it sliced through the neck of an animal fowl, and it's kusha. Zuktimon manfadalib in kavanah l'shechita. Whoever thought of something like that, that you could have a shechita without kavanah? Amrav Reb Nosani. No, that's Reb Nosani. Who's Reb Nosani? Netani oisha z'ira demin chavraya. Before we get to Reb Nosani, who is Oishia Zeira de Min Chavraya? The Poshib Shat means there was a person by the name of Oishia, and he was the youngest or the smallest of all of the Chavra in Yeshiva. And that's in fact one Pshat of Rashi, that Oishia Zeira Min Chavraya, that was his title, that was his name. Oishia, the youngest or the smallest, whatever, of the Chavra. Rashi, however, gives a second Pshat, and Rashi says, no, his name was Oishia Zeira. The Kleine Oishia, could be he had a cousin. Could be there was another Oishia there in the town, in the Smedish, who was a Groisa Oishia. He was a six-footer. Relatively speaking. If he was a Mishpucha, yeah. So Oishia was a... I remember our my older brother, his name is Danny, and I have a cousin, Shimon Neil Schreiber, who in his youth was also known as Danny. But to be able to distinguish between the two Dannys, they would go and say the little Danny. That, do you remember that expression? They used to go and, they used to call Shimon Neil. Now they don't call him Danny anymore. Now they call him Reb Shimon. But at that time they called him little Danny, and he was called the big Danny. So says Rashi, Oishia Zeir, that was his title, the little Oishia. To Mincha Brayan, he was one of the members in the Chabura, in the Besmedesh. So it's not that it goes together, that his title was Oishia Zeir Minchai. He was the young Oishia. Where can I find him? In Besmedesh, among all the Chavra. See, if you look at the Rashi, Rashi's halfway down the Amid, Zeir Mincha Brayan, it's a Rashi Zeir, it's a short Rashi. Zeir Mincha Brayan, Zeir HaYeshiva, he was the youngest in the entire Yeshiva. The Yeshiva had 500 Talmidim, and he was the youngest. Linear, or could be the Oishia Zeir HaYinikra. He was called Oishia Zeir. And he was Mincha Vrayishim Ebnei HaYeshiva. He wasn't necessarily the youngest in the whole Yeshiva. There might have been 50 other Bachim that were younger, or shorter, or smaller, or whatever. But his name was Oishia Zeir for whatever reason, because of other Oishias around. He was known as the Oishia Zeir.
It was endearing.
I'm sorry, it was endearing?
Endearing.
Very good.
Shmuelakah.
See, you have two over here, but there's a third pshat.
There's also Ziri we have sometimes.
You have Ziri too, good. That's on his own. It's just named Ziri. Now, if you look at the Toises on Yud Beis Amid Beis, the Toises over there says that Chavrai was the name of a city. Shemakam. If you look at Yud Beis Amid Beis, Toises in the middle of the Amid of the Toises, in parallel to the end of the Gemara, says Toises to Min Chavrai. Shemakam. Our Oishia Zeir came from Chavraya, nothing to do with the youngest of the Chavra, the Yeshiva, da, da, da. He was from the town of Chavraya. Okay, so we got three separate pshatim. But now that we know that, Lemaisa, what did he tell us? He told us that we paskin like Reb Nosson. Where is Reb Nosson? The Tani Oishia Zeir min Chavraya Zorek Sakin Lenoyatza Bikoisu. A person was doing target practice, but instead of throwing arrows at a target, he was throwing sakinim, knives, at a target. Please stay away, because this could be dangerous. But that's what he was doing. Zorek sakinim, the yatsa, the koisa. And, v'holcha v'shochta kedarka. There was a behemoth that was fascinated about this target practice. And there was a behemoth that's standing around. And unfortunately for the animal, fortunate perhaps for the owner, this sakin, as he threw it, he had kavana to throw, but he didn't have kavana lishchay, and this animal just happened to be passing by, as you know, as an observer watching what's going on, and shoo, and it sliced the animal's neck. That'll teach you, animal, next time, don't stand around next
no
to
next
target
time.
Practice.
No next time. And no next time.
The mishpucha will know. The family will know.
It's a next time.
It's a next time. Next. Oh, very good.
Next.
Well, let's continue.
Next.
Sure, let's continue on. Anyway, so the point of the Gemara is, said Reb Nosson, Machshir, it's Kusher V'Yusher. He was not Mechavan Lishchot, he was Mechavan just to go and throw it in the target there in the Kaisel. Is a riot to what we just said now. He pila is ksheira afagav deloy mechavin matana loy bein in kavana. That's Reb Nosson. However, the Chum poisel, the Chum disagree. We're going to talk more about the Chum at the tail end of the Amid Beis. And after Oishia Zeirad min Chavraya repeated this brisa, he said, "Hutani levo amala halach Reb Nosson." You should know that. So Rava was the one that quoted Reb Nosson to Tani Oishia ben Zaya, and now Rava says, "Not only am I quoting this brisa, but I'm telling you halach alamaisa. We paskin like Reb Nosson, and in fact our Mishnah follows Reb Nosson. It's only nafla, it's psula." But hey, Pila is Ksheira, even though he was not Mechavin to go and Shecht. Frey Timur. Everything okay? Frey Timur, Amar Rav Chodazimna. Rav already said this in the past. When did we have this in the past? Back in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Yud Beis. That's where we had that Toisis, the Min Chabrai, on the same Gemara. Did not state on the Mishnah. The Kulin Sheshachtu. The Kulin is referring to our famous, not Tom, Dick, and Harry, but Cheder Shoyte V'Katan. that normally they do not have the power to shech because they are considered to be halachically immature. What happens if you have achirim oimden al gabon and they watch and they say, I can't believe it. This 12-year-old, he goes and shechs like an experienced shaykhib. Sheesh, he sliced it so nicely, didn't do adrasa, he didn't do chalada, he didn't do shahia, and good kitan. Vachin roinay son, shechitasim shayit, shechita is kosher. V'amrinim, when we learned that, we asked, man tamid liboy kavana l'shechita. After all, these three, the cheshayit v'katan, they might be experts, but they cannot go and put together kavana l'shechita, because their kavana is considered to be
powerless,
meaningless, effectiveness.
Inadequate.
Fine. Anywhere when you want to say it, because la b'nei dea. The Amar of Reb Nosson, that's Reb Nosson that says you don't have to have kavana. You just have to know how to go through the motions. If he knows how to go back and forth and shech, and he did a good job, that's enough. You don't have to have kavana. So the Choyra, Rav is now repeating himself twice, that we paskel like Reb Nosson, both by uns, in the case of throwing the sack into the wall, and also in the case of the Chesh Shoyt V'Katan. So the Maritzvich, I need both types. The Ashmin and Hossam only by the Chesh Shoyt V'Katan, Hashmishim Dekom Mechavan L'Shem Chaticha Bo'ilam. At least over there, they're being Mechavan L'Chaticha. In other words, these three do not have enough mental capacity to have in mind to do a Shechita, the Shem Hashem, because they are immature. However, they certainly have enough capacity to go and cut. You see, he knows how to go and slice back and forth. So presumably he can go and cut up watermelons, he can go and cut up radishes, he can go and cut up tomatoes and potatoes, and he knows how to go and cut and slice the neck of an animal or of a fowl. So therefore, if somebody's standing on gabav, it works. Avul hachad leka mechavin, he wasn't even mechavin v'hir lachaticha. He was just doing target practice, throwing the knife towards the wall, hoping it's going to make an opening in the wall, and the knife is going to stand there, and everybody's going to clap, oh, he did a great job, and maybe get some award. So he wasn't that mechavin over here, not even for chaticha. Emolois, I would think that certainly it's possible. The Ashmin HaHachav, we say over here, at least you're talking about a person that has das, meaning he's not a cheshoyt v'katan. He may not be the greatest gadol hador, but at least he's a bendas.
Him, it's okay. If he's a people that want, he don't have shelter.
Yes, shelter. Exactly. In that case over there, by the three, it's not even a bendas. I would think that whatever he does is legally ineffective. It's gunish. That I have to repeat it twice, that you do not you don't have to have a kavana lishchot, but you have to have at least a person that did a mice, and not that it fell, the sack
right.
Fell on its own.
It has to be done by someone.
Why is a cheresh, I mean, the cheresh could be in full faculty, well, maybe.
You can't learn anything because he's a deaf mute.
I guess nowadays we have.
Before Helen Keller, you couldn't communicate. You couldn't communicate with them. They were cut off.
How many people on your faculty can do it?
Rebbe Avadya Yosef Zatzal has 12 volumes of Yabia Omer, and one of his shailas is about a chedish bizman hazeh, and he says we know from human experience today that there are people like Helen Keller that unfortunately were totally deaf mute, but nevertheless they were brilliant and were able to perform and act. People like that,
blind
in fact.
And deaf.
And then
she's a girl. Can a girl chef?
That gets respected that day. And the in the Eretz Yisrael, right? Safer Eretz Yisrael. Good. But anyway, the point is that Ravad Yosef says such a chedush that, in fact, has been edumacated and knows what's going on, would have the same status as a regular person. Whenever we talk about in the Gemara that he has the status of shoyta v'katan, because at that time every single chedush was a shoyta nevachi, because he could not be educated. But today it would be different. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Itmar. By the way, he says l'chumra. I don't know. In other words, if you ever come across a situation where you have 9 regular even, and you have a 10th, who is a male Helen Keller, who's brilliant and all the rest, I don't know that Rabbi Yosef says automatically you can count it for me. But at least in the Chumra, you have to assume that he has all the mitzvahs because he has been educated. Anyway, Itmar, back to the Gemara. Nida shenensa v'tavla. You have a woman that was a Nida.
She's kosher with Bala, but not for the Kedashim.
That's exactly right. That's the next Gemara. Thank you for giving us the introduction. So we'll understand. No, you're doing a great job. Anyway, you have a Nida. She had a regular period, and her period has ended, and she's counted whatever kosher days that she needed to. Anyway, she's ready to go to the mikveh, but instead of going to the mikvah, bekavana nemsa. Somehow she fell into the mikvah.
She what exactly?
Without kavana. Exactly right. She
the
fell.
Situation.
Right.
She fell off the raft.
Well, that's not so simple. The Gemara in the Oven Vase is going to deal with what was the form of the nensa. But whatever it was, we don't need to go into the
was
detail.
Was she dressed?
And she was not dressed. So she went into the water, and it was not with the kavana of litvoil, but lemaisa, she did a good job. The whole body was immersed, and everything was perfect. So what's the din? Does she get a din that she is now agetoivulta, and she's now tahoira, or not? So this is a machloikis. Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav. Tahoira lebeis of asura lecha betruma. As far as her husband is concerned, she's tahoira. She can now unite with her husband. However, she's not allowed to eat truma. She has to go and do another tefillah for purposes of truma. Rav Yochanan Omer af lebeis loy tora. Even for her husband, she's not tor. Since she didn't do with kavana with ba'inis, she is not tor. Okay, so obviously we have a machloikis. Now, what is the machloikis about? Kuli al lemoide legabe truma. It was not an effective tefillah. The question is the gabel of the beisa. The Gemara calls this chulin because the Gemara wants to distinguish this case from the case of truma, as we'll see momentarily. So only Rava l'Rav Nachman, l'Rav diyomatoy l'beisa v'asur lechol b'truma. I can understand the logic behind it, since when we're talking about living with her husband, that's like a chulin situation. Exactly. However, when you're talking about truma, that's already exalted. You're talking about truma, so you got to be more careful. However, let's analyze what is the punishment for someone who is tamei that goes and eats truma and or lives with her husband bituma. Zokti Yimara, I don't understand you, says Rava to Rav Nachman. According to Rav, the Amatari Lebeis Vasur Lechol Bituma, Ovein Kores Hutra Iser Misa Miboya. Meaning, what does the Gemara mean to say? If you have a man living with his wife who is a nida, then Chas V'Sholem, it says in the Pasuk, V'Nechrisa, the din of Kares. If a person eats truma bituma, then there's a din of misa bidei shemoyim.
Oh, wow.
If you're wondering which is worse, misa bidei shemoyim or kares, says Rashi, kares clearly is worse. Why? Because kares means not only that he, Chas V'Sholem, will end. He, yeah, one second. He will be. Yes. We're going to get back. One second. Let's just finish the thought. And then you'll be able to share with us all of your thoughts. Anyway, the point is that Koris is worse than Misa, because Rashi says not only Yom of Nichrasim, that means he passes away prematurely, but also Zaroi Nichras. If he has children, Rachman and Litzlan, they will also pass away prematurely. And if he didn't have children, he's not going to have children.
I thought sons cannot be made to suffer for the deeds of the father.
You're 100% right. But the Gemara says elsewhere, that's there. If they continue to act like their fathers do, then Chas V'Sholem, the punishment of the father will go and spread not only on them, but also on the children. But anyway, our Gemara says that Koris is worse than Misa, says Rashi, because Zari Nichras. This is only Rashi Shita, Toisvis, and other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. So in which respect is Kores worse than Misa? So one of the respects they say is that Kores is already, in Misa B'dei Shemoyim, is at the age of the Mushal of 70, 60, and then Kores is 10 years earlier at the age of 50. So it's earlier. So most people want to live as long as possible. So when you're going to lose another 10 years, it's considered to be much, much worse. So, you're right. Misa B'dei Shemoyim is at the age of 60, and Koris is already age of 50. Anyway, but getting back to Amar. So, says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that she's Tahir Lebeisa, Tahir Lebeisa, you're talking about an Oynish Chas V'Sholem of Koris. That you say, no, that's okay, that's what. However, eating Truma, no, Truma you can't. The Truma, the punishment is much less. It's only Misa B'dei Shemoyim. Amalais, he told them, Baal Lechulenu, Lechulen Leboi Kavan. The whole, her living together with her husband, it's chulin. Chulin in a sense, it's not truma, it's not kodshim, it's chulin. Chulin doesn't require kavana. And therefore, if she fell into the water, that's enough. She didn't have to have kavana lit while, as long as she comes out and she sees that every part of her body was getoivult, even without kavana, it works. Yeah.
No, listen.
Oh, you're doing a great job. How do I know by chulin, by kavana, did not. We have a Mishnah. We stay in the Mishnah. Galish nitlash uboy arboim sa'av and ofalalo odli ala kalim. You have a person who is on the seashore. Yeah, he was next to the sea, together with Kalim. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, is a tremendous tidal wave that leaves the sea, jumps on top of him. And it was such a large wave, it had in it a full 40 saw, which everybody knows is a sheer mikvah. And it fell onto the individual, and it fell onto Kalim. They're both tohoirim. Wow. He didn't intend to go in Toivol over here. This was, if you will, a miraculous accident that this water fell on him. 40 saw, can't believe it. So Tamar, my love, Odom Dumni the Caleb. Ma Caleb going Machavni, just like a Kli, cannot be Machavin because a Kli is an inanimate object. I have Odom Namenloi Boy Kavana. Oh, so I have a clear cut ride that Chunloi Boy Kavana.
It's a good to ride. He was waiting for the wave to come.
And for the Gemara, me my Nishkaraya. Skenzan, if you did not have a Kavana, it does not work. Here it's talking about Dilma with the Yoshim Mitzapa Askinan. This person wanted to go and have a mikveh. There was no mikveh. He's a tourist in a city where there are no mikvehs. He wanted to go to mikveh. He said, but I heard by the sea, at 5 o'clock, then you have tidal waves which are as big as 40 saw. I'm going to be there next to the sea when this happens, and we'll see what happens.
And I observed this.
And you observed it. Okay.
The person who's calling Caleb,
it, possibility that will happen.
Water. That's right. It could happen.
There was a son of a big rav in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Who that rav says, stay with my son overnight when you have the one day. And he said, this is our mikveh. So he said, I was laughing. He says, no, really. Mm-hmm. We know the schedule.
Uh-huh.
We know what goes on. And so we use it, certainly for Caleb.
Okay.
And occasionally we have to be concerned about who's on the beach.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Older than Borgen's mikveh?
The sea is much older. Anyway, beginning back to...
I understand something. The Kalim, the Kavana of the Tovah, the person's Tovah, in parts there is a form of Kavana there. Well, normally when you Tovah Kalim, you take it to the mikveh. So we're not necessarily saying the Kalim doesn't have...
So look at the end of this Gemara. What you're saying is beautiful. Maybe it's talking about that he's waiting dearly, when that Gal is going to go and sever from the rest of the sea. 40 saw is going to fall over him, and he's going to have the benefit of that tefila. And kelim domi de'adam, like you just said, that ma'odah de'bina kavanav kelim nami de'kom mechavan lu'adam. We're not talking about that the kelim have kavanah. Of course, the kelim can't have kavanah. But the person who's toiling the kelim, he has kavanah. Like Brother Shai said, you never find the kelim go and fall into the mikvah on their own. I mean, it could happen. But normally it's because the person went and brought the kli and he toiled it. So here too, the person was waiting for that tidal wave, and he was waiting not only for the tidal wave to fall on him, but also to fall on the kelim. So, Zokti Mara, so maybe you do need kavana afilu lechulin.
Wasn't just going to, he's in the ocean already. Just we dunk down there, he's already...
And also maybe he has to get undressed. The kelim is not a problem, but if there's other people there, how can he get
injured? If it separates the gal also, he has to be
injured. So no beach.
Yeah, we're assuming that he's the only one there, nobody else is around, and that in fact he is undressed, waiting dearly, is Yoshim Mitzapa for
that. Dunk in, go right into the water, don't wait for anything.
You know how many people have gone into the water and have not come back?
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Especially if you're talking about major tidal waves, they go in and then... The Hatzolah and the Chaverim are there for the next 6 days, and then,
we
have to call the Chaver Kedisha, right?
And Duncan's not kosher.
Duncan's not kosher. Okay.
No, the one here.
If you're telling me that he's sitting there and waiting, so what's the Chiddush? Of course. Then if he has the Tzvak Toivling in a mikvah, so what's the Chiddush over here? So I would say, Maligzer Mishim Chardlish Ol Gshamim. I would say we should make a Gzeder because of the Chardlish Ol Gshamim. The womb to Chadashul Gsham is what we would call a waterfall, but not a waterfall like in Niagara, a rather miniature waterfall, where the top of the mountain there is a pool of water, on the bottom there's also water that has accumulated, and in between you have this fall of water that's going from the top down to the bottom.
Mapan,
so I might have thought that this all is a nitzik or katavris, and it would be considered to be a chibur. So if the person goes and dunks in that waterfall, I have 40 saw. What do you mean a 40 saw? It's just a drop coming down. Yeah, but upstairs and downstairs, add them all together, we got 40 saw. So therefore, I would think, just like I can rely on this tidal wave, maybe I can rely on the Chadalish of Gshamim. Says the Gemara, I'm not Goyzer. Inami, or another Gzera. Ligs a Russian or to keep it. What's Russian or to keep it?
It's says Rashi. It's
exactly. So Russian means our case, where the tidal wave in fact fell down on top of him. And so now it was 40 saw accumulated in one spot.
The water will be more in the bottom than in the top.
Right. And that's how he's going to become tar. However, a person might say, I don't want to wait till the water comes to the ground. I see this huge tidal wave, and he takes his kli, and he throws it into the water, figuring that's just as good. As soon as the tidal wave goes by, I'll have my kli, and it'll be getoivel.
In the top, but that, the 40 saw, you will have to fill down to accumulate lower.
Exactly right. So therefore, by the kippin we're talking about is an arch of water, and he's throwing the kli into that arch, hoping that it's going to become tar. Now, even if there's 40 saw, says Rashi, it doesn't work because every time the mikveh has to be grounded, whether it has to be in a well and be well grounded, or just on the ground itself, if he's standing and the kelim are on the floor and the 40 saw come on top of him, that is enough for purposes of tefillah. However, if it's in the ear, you cannot have an ear tefillah. So I might think that if I'm going to allow for this yoshe mitzapah, the next time he's not going to be yoshe mitzapah, he's going to get a little bit agitated, irritated, nervous, anxiety, and he's going to go and take the kli and throw it into the water. Therefore, kamash malon delay goes rina.
So if you go to a waterfall,
yeah,
that's a mikvah.
If you have a waterfall that you is 40 sides, like a Niagara Falls, I'm not suggesting you should go in Niagara Falls because it's dangerous.
A regular waterfall with 40 saw a second.
It has to be 40 saw all at one time when you fall to them. If you want to do this, halacha lemaisa, first speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi.
So bottom Niagara Falls.
And number two, make sure that Mendy's around with Atzola, Chas V'Shalom, Chalil V'Chas, if there's going to be a problem.
The barrel you go over will be tahar.
And you need witnesses. You need 40 witnesses,
because
then you can say 40
songs. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Order, order.
40 witnesses, they can say the
40 songs. Somebody wait for the tsunami.
Okay, so let's continue on. Omenate milimentally mitzkeep, and how do you know you can't toivel in ear mikvois? It's got to be mikvois on the ground. Now we have the Mishnah, matbilin berosh, matbilin mikip, and why? Shein matbilin mi'avir. Shein. So bottom line, says the Gemara, I don't have an absolute raya that chulin ain't tzarech kavana. It could be chulin does require kavana, and the way that that person became tohar was because of the fact that it was yoishu mitzapa, like the Gemara just said. So imazoy, let's try to find another makar el chulin deliboy kavana miha minolan. How do I know? The none from the following mission. Peirush enoflu treich amasamai. Their peirush were on the roof, and they were drying up nicely, and they fell now, Nebuch, into the Amas HaMayim, a stream down below, and the owner is furious, I want these to dry, I don't want it to get wet.
You want to get food, somebody, put his hand in.
Exactly.
Yes.
See, once
he's got a kavana to wash his hand.
Very good, very good, very good, very good. See, once extract the paters now from that water. A person whose hands were tamei, and he needs to wash them lemushal, because he's going to wash for a seuda, or in the times of Chazal, this was a kohen who wanted to go and eat truma, and his hands were tamei. And we're talking about a tuma drabban, because when I tell you there's no such thing as just part of your body is tamei, the whole body is tamei, it's either or nothing. But there's certain tumas we had in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, which you can have that the yadayim are tamei. For instance, if it touches a klaf of a sefer Torah, and things of that nature. Anyway, so what's the din? So Pashat Mishiyot of Tameyos, the Notlon, and he took out the Peiros from the Amasamayim, Yod of Tahiros. His hands are now tar, and now he can go and eat, no problem. However, Upeiros Inan Mechiyutan, the Peiros do not be Mukshala Kabotuma, because by the Hekshala Kabotuma, it says in the Pasik, the Chiyutan Mayim Al Zeran, the Gemara Dashan, Yutan Dumi Yitin, it has to be Nichalei. I didn't want the peiros to be in the water. That's the reason why I'm taking them out. So the peiros do not become mukhshel lekabotum. However, the in bishvil shiyudchu yadav, and the reason why he's putting his hands is not only to go and extract the peiros that fell into the water, but he wants to take uses as his opportunity for tvilas yodaim or netilas yodaim, and that's why he's putting his hands in. Oh, see, he's happy that he's having this opportunity. even though he's not happy necessarily that the peiros became what, but for purposes of mukshel kabbal tumah, it doesn't have to be that he's happy about the peiros. It's just that he's happy that he put his hands in to take out the peiros. That's already enough to be mukshel the peiros for the kabbalist tumah.
But he wants to take them out. He wants them to be dry. Why is it? Why is that kavana?
You have the mesechtas machshirin goes through many different examples of all of this,
okay,
to tell you that it doesn't have to be davka vis-a-vis the peiros, as long as there's some
positive kavana from the person.
Exactly. Okay. That's sufficient to go be mashal the kabbal tumah. So what do I see over here? But this was all the lebi kavana. Let's go to the first case, in the reisha case, where his hands were tamei, and the reason why he put it in was just to take out the peiros. Nothing to do with yud chu yadav. He went and put his hands in to go and take out the peiros. So what did we say? The hands are automatically tarred. That wasn't my kavana. My kavana was to take out the peiros. So you see from that, you do not need kavana for chulin purposes. As they zok
tiyumar. Isn't the washing of the hands, as it were, because of truma zecher, the truma?
If it would be truma, then we'd have been rabbi truma. The Gemara is assuming the minimum.
Talking about chulin, okay.
Exactly. So the Mishnah doesn't specify what he's doing. So the Parshat Pshat, the other Tumei, is done. He wants to wash his hands for chala, for matzah, for chulin. Right. So I have my raya, Baruch Hashem, that chulin does not need kavana. And that's why we said in the Yomid Aleph, we paskel like Rav Nosson, that even though the cheshir to the cotton are not able to develop a kavana, as long as they did a good slicing, kusha. Same thing as Achirim Imdal Gabov. Same thing, he threw a knife, he wasn't mechavan here to do any shchita, makes no difference. Kusha v'yusha. You do not need kavana for chulin. Frankly, Eisvei Rav Lev Nachman. Tava lechulin, v'huchsak lechulin, osir lemaiser. Huchsak in, loy huchsak loy. This is a Mishnah in Masechtas Chagiga, starting from Chomer Bakodesh, from the Daf Tezvav until the end. The Gemara there in Masechtas Chagiga talks about different madregos of Tumah v'Tahara, depending whether it's chulin, whether it's Maaser Sheni, whether it's Truma, whether it's Kodshim, Ayin Shom. Says the Mishnah that if a person goes to the mikveh, now this is not, doesn't apply today because we don't eat truma, we don't eat kodshim, maaser sheni, all of the rest. All we do is chulin. So, but in the good old days, in fact, they did have these madregas. So when you toiveled, you had to have tevila kavana for what you are toiveling for. So for instance, tovel chulin, he had in mind, I'm toiveling because I want to be able to go and sit down and eat chulin, and I'm very machbet to eat all my chulin betahara, betahara sakoidish, so that's why I'm toiveling. And that worked. By toivling, he's takhok the chulin, he can now eat his chulin al taras hakodesh, but also lemaisa. He's not allowed to go and eat maaser sheni because he didn't toivle for the maaser sheni. So he stayed in the Mishnah. So what do I see from this? Huchzik in le huchzik loy. But for the chulin, he had to have the kavana to go and be machzik le chulin. Why do you have to have the kavana? Did you tell me a moment ago that you don't need kavana? So tomorrow, hochik amar avabisho huchzik le chulin, also lemaisa. Truth of the matter is, you don't have to have kavana for chulin either. The reason why he toivled, because he wanted to eat chulin, but he didn't have in mind, hinni mukharam zum, and I'm toivling for chulin. He just toivled. Once you toivle, automatically you're hochzik lechulin. But still, you're also a meiser, unless you go and have kavana for the meiser shein. So what do we see from this Mishnah? We had assumed initially that you have to have kavana for tvila, and now we're concluding, no, for chulin you don't need kavana, because chulin ain't a tzarech kavana. But let's continue in the same Mishnah, Eisvei. Tova v'lei huchzak. He just toivled without having any kavana whatsoever. He was just totally absent-minded. He toivled and he came out. So the Mishnah, ki loy tovel. It's as if he didn't toivle at all and he has to go back in. So now, my love ki loy tovel klal. That even for chulin purposes, you have to have kavana. Ki loy tovel l'maiser avo tovel l'chulin. Even though he didn't have any kavana, he was totally spaced out, as they say nowadays. Nevertheless, it was a good tefila for chulin. Now, that certainly is not the mashmois of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, tovo v'lei huchzak ki'ilu lei tovo, it's mashma fagunisht. So who's sova d'chuyi kon marchilei? He thought he was just pushing him off bekash and giving him a doichik pshat. Of a nofak, doki ashkach. After that, he did some more due diligence and research, and he came up with the following brayse of the Sanya. Tova v'lei huchzak, even though he toivled without any kavana whatsoever, he just went in and out. Muta l'chulim yasa l'maisa. So we see very clearly from that Mishnah, from the brayse, that when it comes to chulin, you do not need kavana.
Something important. Is b'di'evet o mitzvah t'chila. Mitzvah t'chila, you don't after Kabbalah, but the Eved after Yitzhak already.
Yeah, exactly right. So Amalei Abayler of Yosef. Let's say you have a kashan of Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan back on the Omid base said, even for Chulin, she is still Tamea. So even though she was Nensa, somehow she fell into the water. We'll discuss how she fell in, but she did not have Kavana, says Rabbi Yochanan. So Gunish Vet, nothing. But I see from these Mishnayos and from the Brises that the Kavana, you don't need Kavana for Chulin. So what's Pshat in Rabbi Yochanan? Let me tell you after Rabbi Yochanan. Omle Rabbi Yochanan. Who the Yama Omalei? Rabbi Yochanan, who the Yama Gerbionisim Ben Yosef? Not a Kasher Rabbi Yochanan. It's a Machlokes Tanoim. And he holds like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Yosef. Who's Rabbi Yochanan Ben Yosef? The sign we learned in the Brisa. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Yosef Oimer Vechubas. Ma Tom Aloimer Shainis. Makish Taboises Shnia Litech Boises Rishainim. What are we talking about? We're talking about Nigoe Bigodim. There was a Nega on somebody's Beged. He runs to the Koy and he says, oi, oi, oi. What do I do with this beggar? I see it has a nega. Says the coin, I have an etzah for you. Go and wash it, put it into the washing machine, and wash it very, very, very thoroughly, and then hold on to it for 1 week. 1 week, come back, and we'll see at that time. Is it faded? Did it get larger? Did it get smaller? Maybe the whole thing was washed away altogether. You just come back in a week from now. And he comes back in a week, and guess what? Presto, Baruch Hashem, the whole thing faded, or it's no longer there. No more negatzeras. What do you have to do now? The pasuk says, "V'chubas sheinis v'toyer." You have to do a second kvisa. But this kvisa is not talking about putting it into the washing machine. It means kibbutz begodim, which means you have to toivlin in the mikvah v'toyer, and now it's going to be tor. Now, for those of you that have the Torah or Hashalom, you see the aleph, and you see the first pasuk over here. Any one of these that was brought to the Kohen, and you washed it, you did a great job. Baruch Hashem, you come back a week later, there's no nega anymore. Wow, Baruch Hashem. You're not done yet. You have to go and wash it a second time. Not washing, you have to put it into the mikvah, and then it'll be tahar. What's bothering the Gemara is, I see that the word kvisa is used twice in this pasuk. Asher techabez, v'sar mihem anoga, v'chubas. Why does it have to say shenis? By definition, I know 1 + 1 = 2.
Mekabez is the process, what you do right now.
Exactly right. So the first one is asher techabez, you went and washed it, and then it would be enough to say, v'chubas v'toher. What do I need v'chubas shenis v'toher? Zok to Gemara, matam l'shenis, back to Gemara. Machish techboises shnia, the second kvisa, meaning the tvila, lift techboises rishoina to the first washing. Ma techboises rishoina ledas, it's got to be that he did it ledas. What means he ledas? Because the koyin told him, mister, you want to get the nega out of this beget, you gotta go and wash it. And he washed it. So he did it ledas, he's following the tzivoy of the koyin. So after techboises shnia, it's got to be also ledas. Maybe when he's toivling it, the koyin has to be present. He has to be oimed al gavav to make sure that it was toivled properly. No. So what do I see from this price of Rabbi Yosef and Yosef? That in fact you do need kavana after all, because just like the original kvisa of washing it, you had to go and listen to the koyin and do it ledas. Similarly, when you're doing the tvila, the chubas sheinis, it's also got to be middas. You don't need the das koin, but it's got to be, not that it just fell into the mikveh, you had to have kavana. Oh, so says the Gemara, that's where Rabbi Yochanan hangs his hat on that braisa, that even for chulin, you have to have kavana. Masler, Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan hochi, Rabbi Yochanan lochin kastam mishnah. Yochanan famously says throughout Shas, we pass the Kastam Mishnah. Tanan, let's get to our Mishnah. Oh, and now I know why we brought this whole Midish and Nensa. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Nof l'sakin v'shachta. A sakin fell down, and it did a wonderful shchita. Avo misha shachta kidarka, even if it did a nice slicing, psula. Va'avinan ba, and when we learned the Mishnah, we added, taimid anofla, hohe pilahu ksheira. If he threw the knife down, he took away the knife from his children, and he gave a throw down, and it sliced the neck of an animal or of a bird, avagavloi mechamed, it's kosher. Oh, v'mrinan man tam deloi boi kavana l'shchita, who says you don't need kavana? Omerover abnosin hi. Also, I see that you do not need kavana. But what about this Rabbi Yochanan's braisa with Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef that says you do need kavana? Make up your mind. And but the Gemara b'shchita for Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, even Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef would agree when it comes to Hilchais Shchita, there you have to have that. I'm sorry, that you do not need kavana. Why don't you need kavana? Midigoli Rachmana misasi b'kodshim basel. As we learned already a couple of times, what happens if someone is in the Azara and he shechs by accident? In other words, the shoychit is now being boydik his knife and he's doing a great job. He's looking up at the shemesh and the mayim on his nail, on his hand, whatever. He's being boydik it, and as he's moving it back and forth, up and down, is a behemoth that was walking by and he shechted it. That's called misasik b'kachim. Shteitach is possible. Why is it possible? The Gemara said because it says in the pasuk, "Lirtzoinchem tizbachu." Lirtzoinchem means ledatchem. That you had to have kavana to go and shecht by kachim. Lirtzoinchem tizbachu. Ah, mechal dechulun leboyin kavana. By chulun you don't need kavana. So therefore, zok the Gemara. Bottom line, legabe shchita in our Mishnah, everybody could agree, even Rabbi Yochanan, that you do not need kavana. The only time it doesn't work is if it fell down on its own. Nafla. Right. But I wasn't mechavin for shchit. I was mechavin just to throw it down. Yeah. So koyach odom I have, but I don't have kavana the shchita. Sufficient. Everybody could agree. Where's the machlaik? The machlaik is only gabi that's neither shenensa, based on these various mishnayos, whether you have to have kavana for tefillah or not kavana for tefillah. For Rabbanan, what about the Rabbanan that we had that argue with Reb Nosson? Reb Nosson was the one that said that if he's throwing the darts, he's throwing the knife against the wall, and he was holcha v'shachta kedarik. Reb Nosson says it's kosher. L'chum poisel, chum say it's possible. Why do the chum hold that it's possible? L'chayr, they should also agree to what we just said now, that only by kodshim do you have to have kavana, but not by chulin. So why do the Rabbanan disagree? Because Rabbanan need loivin and kavana l'zvicha. Okay, you don't have to have kavanah l'zvicha, meaning kodshim l'shem Hashem, that I'm doing the first of the four avoidos that it says in the first Mishnah, Masechta Tzvachim, kol hazvachim shenizvachu shelo lishman. You don't have to have kavanah, but you at least have to have kavanah v'chaticha. And therefore, if the person just threw a dart against the wall, he threw a knife, and it lodged inside the wall, and it did a wonderful shchita, did I intend to cut anything? Fakert. I say, everybody, danger zone, everybody stay away, behemoth stay away, people stay away. The behemoth didn't listen. That's why he's called the behemoth. And that's why the behemoth, unfortunately, got geschachted. But you have to have at least happens. Okay. So we're finishing off the discussion of Reb Nosson and Rabbanan. Remember, Reb Nosson says, you threw the knife against the wall and it shechted, you're fine, it's a kosher shechita. And Rabbanan said no, because you have to have at least a kavanah l'chaticha. Says the Gemara, says Rava, Reb Nosson's argument is stronger than that of the Rabbanan. In which respect is it stronger? Miksiv v'chatachta. That's what the Rabbanan doesn't say v'chatachta. It's v'chatachta ksiv. And therefore, iba inen kavana lechaticha fil lezvicha nami liboy. Iba inen kavana lezvicha lechaticha nami loy liboy. I don't see this distinction that you're making, Rabbanan, that you're trying to kind of cut through and say, you don't need a zvicha, but you need a chaticha. Vushtaitis. It says the gabi kabonis. Vizavachta, vishochat. And says the gabi basar taiva. Also the same lashon. Vizavachta mitkorchu mitzoincha. So either you have to have kavana entirely for zvicha, or you don't need any kavana. But to say that you need ashtikala kavana, kavana lechaticha, not for zvicha, we don't have any makar for that, and that's why Rava says Reb Nosson's argument is stronger than that of the Rabban. Now that we went through this entire and very interesting sugya, let's get back to the first question. How do we have a case of an accidental tvila? Are we talking about that she was standing next to the mikveh, and maybe she was a little timid and she was a little bit scared or whatever, and her chavata gave her a push and she fell in? Ah, mazel tov, she was geteufelt. Sreik b'yimara, kavana de chavata, kavana mal yasihi. Then you don't need her own kavana, the chavata's kavana is sufficient. And even v'oid betruma nami yachla, you can even eat truma based on that falling in. So don't say that there's a machloikis, but everybody agrees that Surah Lechel Betruma. No, everybody would agree that it's Mutal Lechel Betruma, because even though she didn't have Kavana, but her Chavata by pushing her in had Kavana. Where do we find this? Did not. Hachareshes v'ashoyte v'asuma. We're talking about like the Chedishoyte v'cotton situation. Here we're talking about a Suma, never blind. V'shenitrum v'dat, and never somebody's tzidrait. Em yeshlen pikchois, misaknois oison, and oichlis even betruma. You have nebuch women that nebuch don't know what it means to toil and all the rest. They're not, you know, nebuch shoit, etc. So you can have a woman who's a pikachas, who's in charge of her, and misaknas oisa means that she makes sure that she does all the proper bedikos and makes sure that she's no longer going and she's no longer seeing blood, and she's fine, and now she did a hefsik tara. She's misaknas oisa, they did a great job. And then after that, had them go into the mikveh. Then not only are they tar, but they even eat truma. How is that possible? They don't have any kavana themselves. You don't need their kavana. At least somebody that's oimed al gabov, in this case the chavita, she had the kavana. So then, what's the machlokes? Everybody would agree it's sufficient, not only lebesa, but even lechol betruma. So that cannot be the case that somebody pushed it. But rather, amre papa, the Reb Nosson is talking about shenofla min agesha. She was walking on the bridge, and Nebuch fell off the bridge. Sorry?
No,
and then she fell into the water. Exactly, she fell into the water. That's sufficient. Remember, according to Reb Nosson, you don't have to have kavana. Well, the Rabbanan that said you don't have to have kavana for zvicha, but you at least have to have kavana for chaticha. She yored al hakir. She went to the yam to go and swim. She had no intention of toivling. But guess what? At one point, when she was swimming, one of these waves came on, and then she fell into the water, and now she's totally agetoivulta. Did she have kavana to toivle? No, she didn't have kavana to toivle. However, Lamasa, she was Nensa, she fell into the water. She only was there for swimming, but she went and fell in totally. So therefore, according to Rabban, at least she had that kavana to go into the water. Not that she was, you know, standing there and then out of a big wind can and dragged her into the water. So therefore, that's the case of the Ishish and Nensa. And now we have the question is, did she become Tor or not? And that's the Machloikis, according to Rav. At least she's Tor Lebesa, because for Chulin you don't need Kavana, but also Lechel Betruma. And Rabbi Yechanan says, no. You have to have at least Epesa Kavana, half Lebesa, Le Torah. She is not Tor, even Lebesa. Stop over here. Have a wonderful day.